Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Janavalabha Girivaradari. Jaya Gopi Janavalabha Girivaradari. Yashoranandana Vraja Janaranjana Yashoranandana Vraja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 15, entitled Description of the Kingdom of God, Text 50. Pradushchakarta yadidam. Pradushchakarta ya idam purohuta rupam. Tenesha nivritam ava puralam drishona. Tasma idam bhagavate nama idvidema. Yo natmanam durudayo bhagavan pratita. Pradushchakarta yadidam puruhuta rupam. Tenesha nivritam ava puralam drishonaha. Tasma idam bhagavate nama idvidema. Yo natmanam durudayo bhagavan pratitaha. Pradushchakarta yadidam puruhuta rupam. Tenesha nivritam avapuralam drishona. Tasma idam bhagavate nama idvidema. Yo natmanam durudayo bhagavan patitaha. Bhagavan pratitaha. Pradushchakarta, you have manifested yet which idam this puruhuta, O greatly worshipped rupam, eternal form, tena, by that form, isha, O Lord, nivritim, satisfaction, avapuhu, obtained, alam, so much, drishaha, vision, naha, our, tasmai, unto him, idam, this, bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, namaha, obeisances, it only, videma, let us offer, yaha, who, anatmanam, of those who are less intelligent, durudayaha, cannot be seen, bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pratitaha, has been seen by us. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Lord, we therefore, offer our respectful obeisances unto your eternal form as the personality of Godhead, which you have so kindly manifested before us. Your supreme eternal form cannot be seen by unfortunate, less intelligent persons, but we are so much satisfied in our mind and vision to see it. Purport. The four sages were impersonalists in the beginning of their spiritual life, but afterwards, by the grace of their father and spiritual master, Brahma, they understood the eternal spiritual form of the Lord and felt completely satisfied. In other words, the transcendentalists who aspire to the impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma are not fully satisfied and still hanker for more. Even if they are satisfied in their minds, still, transcendentally, their eyes are not satisfied. But as soon as such persons come to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are satisfied in all respects. In other words, they become devotees and want to see the form of the Lord continually. It is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita that one who has developed transcendental love of Krishna by smearing his eyes with the ointment of love sees constantly the eternal form of the Lord. The particular word used in this connection, anatmananam, signifies those who have no control over the mind and senses and who therefore speculate and want to become one with the Lord. Such persons cannot have the pleasure of seeing the eternal form of the Lord. For the impersonalists and the so-called yogis, the Lord is always hidden by the curtain of yoga maya. Bhagavad Gita says that even when Lord Krishna was seen by everyone while he was present on the surface of the earth, the impersonalists and the so-called yogis could not see him because they were devoid of devotional eyesight. The theory of the impersonalists and the so-called yogis is that the Supreme Lord assumes a particular form when he comes in touch with Maya, although actually he has no form. This very conception of the impersonalists and so-called yogis checks them from seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is. The Lord, therefore, is always beyond the sight of such non-devotees. The four sages felt so much obliged to the Lord that they offered their respectful obeisances unto him again and again. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Description of the Kingdom of God. Om Ajnanta Marandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Scha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dino Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shiva Sade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hari Hari. So big for the blessings of the assembled devotees. Maharaj asks for your blessings. All the disciples of Srila Prabhupada ask for your blessings. May we be able to speak sincerely and correctly. May our words and our consciousness be aligned with Srila Prabhupada and Guru Parampara. May all the devotees be benefited and blessed by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. May Shishi Radha Shyam Sundar be pleased. Well, again, this is Canto 3, Chapter 15, entitled The Description of the Kingdom of God. Last verse of this chapter, text 50. O Lord, we therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto your eternal form as the personality of Godhead, which you have so kindly manifested before us. Your supreme eternal form cannot be seen by unfortunate, less intelligent persons. But we are so much satisfied in our mind and vision to see it. So these last five verses of this chapter, these are the prayers of the offered by the four Kumaras after seeing the transcendental form of God. Prabhupada explains that to see God face to face is the ultimate realization of God. To see his Svayam Prakash, his self-manifested, self-luminous form, to actually see God is the ultimate realization. In the Priti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami explains how to see God. We know how to see God by the path of bhakti, but in a detailed way, what's necessary? He explains there's a section where he's talking about seeing God. And he says two things are needed. One is that one thing that's needed is the purified chitta, purified consciousness. And the chitta is not a spiritual, element. It's a material element. So by saying purified chitta, it means returning the chitta back to its natural state. When the creation is described in Bhagavatam, third canto, the first element to come is the Mahatattva. So that's the very first element. It's highly sattvic. It's almost like completely sattvic of the material nature. But very soon, the other modes come in and start to contaminate further. So in the same way, the chitta is the Mahatattva within the individual. So also in the beginning, when the chitta is there, it's pure in a sense, materially speaking, relatively speaking, it's pure. But with the ahankar, the false ego, all the impressions start to come into the chitta and it becomes very darkened. So purified chitta means that the chitta has to return to that purified state, materially purified state. That's the first thing that's needed to see God. No. So the chitta is a material element, but it can become purified by bhakti, by the practice of bhakti, where it returns to this state. Sometimes the chitta in its purified state is called prakriti, because prakriti means it means natural, the natural state of something. The purified chitta is sometimes called prakriti. Kriti means to make or to form, and pra can mean like before, like the original state of something, the natural state before it becomes contaminated. That's why this material nature, even in the first, we say first there's prakriti, right? But then what happens is vikriti. There's a change in that original nature. Prakriti is something actually highly sattvic. Just like in Ayurveda, they say when there's imbalances, it's called vikriti. something is off, something changes, something is out of harmony. And then, so these three terms are sometimes put together, prakriti, vikriti, and sanskriti. Sanskriti means, Prabhupada explains, to reform. So first there's prakriti, which is kind of clean and pure. And then there's a coloring and a darkening of that. And then sanskriti, like we have Sanskrit, the word Sanskrit means to reform, that process which now reforms you back to the original state. So the chitta is highly sattvic and also very reflective. That's why sometimes it's compared to a mirror. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Cheto, that's the chitta, darpanam, marjanam. This chitta has to be cleansed like cleaning a mirror. And what's the dirt that's covered that? Is the ahankar, the samskars, the different material desires. Those to a certain degree have to dissolve so that the chitta returns to this natural state. And in that natural state, now the second thing that's needed to see God, that's the first thing. Come back to a natural state of consciousness where the samskars and the desires have weakened and lessened or even dissolved. And now in that state, then Bhagavan, his wish, his desire is to come before you, if he so desires. And then you can see God. Those two things. So purified chitta, and then the desire, the will, the wish of Bhagavan himself. Just like in this pastime we're hearing that the four Kumaras, they're in a very purified state, Brahman realized. So the chitta is clean, and apparently they didn't have so many misconceptions. Sometimes Brahman realized persons or practitioners may have a very strong conception that this is the ultimate and there's nothing beyond this. And therefore they remain locked into that conception only. They're in a certain purified state, but because of association, a particular association that may say that this is it, you are God, those conceptions, because they're so locked into them, then they can just remain there, even eternally. But there's also Brahman-realized persons, just like the four Kumaras, Shukadeva Goswami was another. Brahman realized, but he heard the verses, two verses from the Bhagavatam that are there also in the Bhagavatam. He heard two verses and it transformed him into a devotee. So the four Kumaras also, they're in this state of consciousness, and then the Lord decides to come and give his darshan. It says, Vishayam Aksha. He becomes an object of their eyes. Usually we can't see Krishna. The material eye can't see Krishna. Atashi Krishna Nam Adi. Nam means the name, and Adi means etc. So that means name, form, qualities, pastimes. That's how it's explained. Nam Adi. Atashi Krishna Nam Adi. Nabhavet Grayam Indriya. None of the senses can perceive the name, can hear the name. The ear can't hear the name. The eye can't see God. But when these senses become purified, then the nature of the eye and the ear changes. Becomes purified and begins to change. And then God can reveal himself to such a person and you can see him directly. Now, it's interesting. Speaking on the chitta as a necessary, a purified chitta as being necessary to see God. So if you want to know more about the chitta, the characteristics of the chitta, and what I'm sharing also, is it's found in the third canto, 26th chapter. Verses 21 and 22 is the definition of the chitta and the characteristics of the chitta. And one of the words used to describe there, svachatvam, it means the chitta, again, a material element, becomes so cleansed. And I want to read what Prabhupada says in that purport. This doesn't go that far back. Yeah. Maybe another canto, but I have it here. So, svachatvam means completely clean, cleansed and clear. The chitta becomes so clear. So it's described by the Acharyas and I also by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, but it's in Prabhupada's purport. He just says it quickly. But it's very profound. When the chitta is cleansed, it becomes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Bhagavat Bimba Grahitvam. And Prabhupada will mention this, I'll explain what it means, but it becomes in a state where now it is Bhagavat Bimba Grahitvam. Tvam means like the quality of something. It has the quality to be able to grahit, catch. Catch what? Bhagavat Bimba, a reflection of the form of God. Only a reflection. So when this chitta is purified, now in that state it is possible, it's capable of catching a reflection only of God's form. Not actually the direct darshan. Because for that to happen, the eyes have to be completely spiritual. The consciousness has to become completely spiritualized. But because we're talking about chitta, it's a material element, so it actually can't see God directly, but it sees a reflection of God. But that's enough to change and transform your life completely. That's no small thing. So it's not like we should think, only a reflection? It's completely a reflection of God, an actual reflection of God. So Prabhupada explains this regarding the chitta in this purport here. And this is 3rd Canto, 26th chapter, text 22. He says, just after creation, so like I was describing, the first element that comes is the mahatattva and the chitta in the individual. Consciousness is not polluted just after creation. But the more one becomes materially contaminated, the more consciousness becomes obscured. In pure consciousness, one can perceive a slight reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As, in clear, unagitated water, free from impurities, one can see everything clearly, so in pure consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, one can see things as they are. One can see the reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one can see his own existence as well. This state of consciousness is very pleasing, transparent, and sober. In the beginning, consciousness is pure. So, this is the power of the chitta when it's cleansed. It can actually see a reflection of the form of God. This is what our sadhana is. Because by our sadhana, by our practice, we can't force Krishna to come. We can't even force bhakti to come into our hearts. But you're trying to cleanse your consciousness to be prepared to be able to receive God's darshan when he reveals himself. So it's like the chataka bird is the image of the perfect practitioner. Because the chataka bird has taken a vow, I'm only going to take water that comes from the cloud. There's water everywhere, but I only take from the cloud. That's the vow of the chataka bird. And the chataka bird very nicely prepares himself. The chataka bird sees a dark cloud. This is Krishna. His complexion is like a dark cloud. So once he sees the dark cloud in the sky, he goes to the branch. So he prepares. He puts himself in the right place to receive. He opens his mouth, but he can't make the drop come into his mouth. So sadhana is like that. We're beggars. When you chant the holy name, when you hear, we're hearing, it's coming in, we're praying and hoping that Krishna will reveal himself through sound or through his form, his deity form. We see, but we don't see. You know, we see, but we don't see. Because if we really saw, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that, if you actually see the deity, when you see the deity, if you actually see Krishna, then your atma goes into ecstasy. But we have all these filters, the chitta, the ahankar, manas, buddhi, all these layers covering, and it's filled with impressions of the material world, material nature. And this is like a block from actually seeing. But when the chitta becomes cleansed, how? Chaito darpana marjanam, it's by the chanting of the holy name. All these things we do. But all the things that we do, we should come with all this understanding. So covered, so blocked, I can't hear anything, I can't see God, I can't feel his presence. Now, only by his grace is it possible, but let me put myself in these situations where the grace can actually come, because the grace of God comes through the 9 items of devotional service. Those are very, it doesn't come through anything. It has to come from a parampara that explains this is the way. These 9 items are more potent, more powerful. They're like channels. When you're performing those things in the 9 items and you're in the right consciousness, then bhakti shakti can descend into the chitta and begin to transform your chitta and also your body. Your physical body changes. If you look in these verses here, the 4 Kumaras, it says about them, in the beginning, this is text 38, I believe. Yes. In the beginning, they were akshara jusam. They were attached to the form of the Lord as akshara. They were attached to the Lord as Brahman. But when they took in the fragrance of the Lord mixed with the tulsi leaves on his feet, when it entered their chitta, then what happened? It says, sankshobam. There was a change in what? Chitta tanvaho. In their chitta and in their body. Their body began to change also. What does that mean? It's because when the chitta is actually receptive and the Lord's form comes into it, Svarup Shakti, he has a form, Svarupa, and he has what's called Svarup Shakti, a Shakti coming from the form. So when it enters the living being whose consciousness has been prepared to receive it, a change in the consciousness takes place, a total purification takes place, and also the body gradually also begins to change. And there's a technical term for that. It's described, the energy of that spiritual energy, the Svarup Shakti of the Lord, enters the consciousness of that being and makes it like itself. The consciousness of the living being starts to become like God, God-like. In other words, returning to our original pure spiritual nature. There's a technical term for that. And Prabhupada gives the example. The Sanskrit word is tadatmya, where Prabhupada always gives the example, just like if you have an iron rod and it's placed in the fire. So the nature of the iron rod, in one sense, it stays like an iron rod. The body looks like everybody else's body, even a pure devotee. We say their bodies are spiritual. It looks like everybody else's body, but nobody would know that. So the iron rod still remains like an iron rod, but actually the quality is changing and becoming like fire. It's transforming. And if you touch that iron rod to a piece of paper or cardboard, it lights up. It also acts like fire. So now this iron rod, even though it looks like an iron rod as before, but it's completely changed, gradually becoming completely like fire. So in contact with Krishna, in contact with bhakti, then everything begins to change as this comes in. These are, you know, this information, you may wonder, what's the point in discussing all these details? But it's very powerful. This is all given by our acharyas for us to contemplate, to realize when we do sadhana, this can take place. I can even this physical body can be transformed by the grace of God, and then I can have eyes to actually see Him. This actually happens. It's amazing. It's amazing information, and it's how have we become so blessed to learn these things? These are confidential things, you know, very confidential to know this. Why does the body, this is also nicely described, if the body is becoming spiritual, then why is it that there's still old age and a possible disease may come and even death, right? You might have that question. If you say the pure devotee's body is completely spiritual, but you still see it's aging, it's getting old, so somebody may wonder, how is that possible if it's spiritual? So this is, the answer to that is also given. Where did I see it? I have to quote myself here, so you all know that I'm not just up here making up making up things. This is 29, 11, and 12 of Bhagavatam. 10, 29, 11, and 12. So there in the purport, which is a quote from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, why is it that if we're saying the body becomes fully spiritual, but still we see it gets old and it dies? So how is it spiritual? He says the reason why it gets old and dies like everybody else's body is Krishna's will to protect the confidentiality of this process to people who are not qualified. It protects the confidentiality of this process of a pure... So in other words, even though it's completely spiritual, there's no more karma within that body actually. And the body itself is a result of karma. So all of that is gone. It's a different body. But it has to appear like everybody else's body just to protect the confidentiality of this process of bhakti. Because imagine if the body became fully spiritual and there was some being who's a pure devotee somewhere in the world and the world came to find out that he's glowing and he's not aging anymore. And this person's never died. And imagine what that would create in this world. He would probably be captured by the government, killed, maybe probably immediately killed. Somebody would say this is something coming from the devil. Just imagine if somebody would stop aging in our world. The kind of havoc and craziness it would create. He would be killed immediately, captured, hidden, or just condemned as some kind of alien, maybe an alien. This person must be an alien. So to prevent all this and to protect the confidentiality of this process, by Krishna's achinta shakti, they still appear to be getting old. They still appear to die, but actually they are completely spiritualized. So this is interesting information that's given to us by our acharyas. Even when you begin practicing, if you're a sadhaka, your body's changing slowly. This is called sadhaka deha. So there's the material body, deha, and there's sadhaka deha. And then of course there's the siddha deha, the perfected body. But the sadhaka deha also, hearing and chanting, if there's been moments in your life where you've experienced some grace, some mercy, that means the energy has gotten into you and is gradually transforming things. Now, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur warns, if that happens and then you still go back to material sense objects and sense gratification, you stop the process of the transformation. But if because of these experiences and the mercy we receive, we become more directed, more focused, then more and more the spiritual quality begins to take over completely the material quality. And he gives an example in chemistry. I'm talking about this because this verse is about seeing God. I'm just describing actually how it's the way my mind works. If I hear that by bhakti you can see God, I just want to find out how is that actually possible? Who describes it? And it's all there. Every question we have, if we dig and start to look and search, all the answers are there. This is such an amazing philosophy and tradition that we're part of. It's all there. We just, if you're eager to know and you start to look and you start to put things together, the whole thing lights up as everything is answered. So I'm just describing these things because this has become an interest and I'm looking into it. And he says, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, as the practitioner, some of the energy of bhakti has gotten into them. So now they're half and half. The body is partly spiritual, partly material. And he gives the example from chemistry. The devotees, all spiritual traditions, ancient spiritual traditions, India, Egypt, China, they all use this, it's kind of a symbol of the spiritual path, is chemistry, alchemists. Right? You find it everywhere. By mixing this material with that material, then a transformation takes place, or by heating this material. The Rosicrucian Christians from the 18th century in Europe, they had this symbolism also of alchemy. And we see the devotees also, the Vaishnavas. We hear about this Chintamani stone, anything it touches, it transforms. We hear about the process of diksha, when you take initiation. There's a transformation there also that takes place when you completely surrender. If you completely surrender, completely give your life in that moment, then the body also is said to be transformed from metal to gold. So in the same way, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he says, so as the practicing devotee, is this, he's beginning to be transformed by the grace of the Lord. He gives the example of mixing two elements. I don't know anything about chemistry, so maybe some of you know better than me, but he says if you mix mercury and sulfur, if you mix these two things, you'll find that they don't mix. So he says that is the subtle body, antakarana, and the bhakti shakti does not mix. They're two different things. One is material, one is completely spiritual. See, they don't mix. But like mercury and sulfur, if you keep rubbing, keep rubbing, keep rubbing, if you're just committed to rub for however long it takes, then at some point they mix and it becomes another material called collyrium. I don't know. I think it's used for ointment for the eye. But that's the combination of mercury and Prabhupada was also a chemist, right? You know that? He was also a chemist. And he was, some devotees visited him one time from the Gaudiya Math, and he said, I have found the formula for love of God. I'm here in the laboratory here, and I found what has to be combined, and then you will have love of God. You want to know what it is? And of course, they said yes. And he said, Trinada pi suniche na tarori vasahishtuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahadi. That's the answer he gave. That is the formula for love of God. If you combine these things, humility, complete tolerance, respecting all living beings, expecting nothing from anyone, combine all that, and you can chant the holy name and experience the holy name constantly. So if you mix mercury and sulfur for a very long time, finally something happens and they mix. So he said in the same way, when the subtle body, antakarana is the term he uses, mixes with the bhakti shakti, finally it becomes transformed. At the stage of prema, then you're in the stage of prema, which means that your body is completely spiritual, and with those eyes you can see God directly. So seeing God is, as Prabhupada said, the ultimate realization, because it means you can only see God when you can only see the true form of God when you're in your true form, your spiritual form. So it's the ultimate. And there's love. There's Brahman realization. There's Paramatma realization. This is also God. This is one. He is Advayam Gyan Paratattva. He's the one undivided supreme absolute truth. So he is also that Brahman effulgence. That is also one aspect of him. Paramatma in the heart is also God. But when the soul reaches its full blossoming and potential, then it sees the full manifestation of God, which is actually the form of God, the beautiful form of Krishna. This is the pinnacle of God realization. You know this book? Even in the West, there's a book written. Maybe, I don't know, some people say it's, in terms of religion or metaphysics, it's the greatest book, the greatest spiritual literature of the Western world. Would be, sometimes it's, some people say is Dante, you know, this poet and writer Dante, his book The Divine Comedy. So that's the story of a soul, a person who dies, and then they go to all the different planetary systems, rising all the way up to the spiritual world. So he goes down into hell. And he describes there's seven hells. Interesting. In the Vedic conception, seven hells, Patala Loka at the bottom, but we also say seven. So he says one goes through these seven hells. It's a person's journey, and they're guided by a person. Each place they go to the hells, then there's purgatory, a place in the middle. It's connected to Catholic theology, but also Dante is claimed to have realizations of this and different saints, things that he gathered. He put it all together in this book, huge book. So it's a pretty amazing book. He talks about going into the hells, and he's guided by one person called Virgil, who represents the human reason, but good reason, like a pure human reasoning. And then he comes up from the hells, he goes to purgatory, the place where you get purified to go up further. And there he's accompanied by Beatrice, who represents, Virgil represents hell and purgatory. Then he goes to the heavens, that's the guide there is Beatrice, and she represents divine revelation. So anyway, it's his journey, going down through all these different planes of existence, and his experience is what he sees. And in terms of purgatory, it's also interesting because he describes it as a place where there's great souls, but they're not completely purged yet of impurities. And when we also hear in our tradition of the four planets of the yogis, what are they doing there? Penances. They're also not completely pure. It's still within the material sphere. And so he speaks of the hells, purgatory, and then finally he speaks of the spiritual world. What's his mission on this journey? Is just to see God. This is what his mission is. So it's described. He comes. Now this is also very interesting. Many parallels with our tradition from this book. He is guided by one saint, Saint Bernard, when he goes to the spiritual kingdom. And at some point, he's looking to see God, and instead he just sees a bright light. Just like an intense, overwhelming light. And Saint Bernard, who's guiding him, just says, you just keep, stay with it, you keep looking. And then this is how the book ends. He's trying to see God. He saw the spiritual world, and he saw the inhabitants. He said there are countless inhabitants. And it's just like a red rose. We say lotus, they say rose. It's all like within a beautiful red rose, and there are countless inhabitants of lovers and worshipers of God. And then, but I want to see God, so he sees a light first. And he's looking at the light. And then, from the light, he starts, at first it's very abstract, but then a form starts to come. Just the outlines. He starts to see a form, a human-like form is described. And then his meditation and everything breaks. So the way this is interpreted in Catholicism is that when we hear the Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, so Father, person, Son, person. So he begins seeing form, and he said, this I cannot even fathom. He just can't imagine. He's thinking, yes, well, okay, this divine light is the source of everything. But then when his mind sees a form forming, he becomes completely shocked, and everything breaks. In a sense, he's not qualified to see it. Just like we're describing how to become qualified to actually see the form of God. But it's described when he starts to see these things, when he starts to see the form, even though it's like an outline, but he can see, but it's said that it's human-like, then it says that his heart and his whole existence becomes completely aligned with love for God. And after that experience, he returns to the earth. And he's looking around, and he's just noticing, because of that experience, transformative experience, he's seeing that all the movements of the wind and the sun, everything is actually just bathing in the love of God. Everything is happening by the love of God. That was the ultimate realization he had. So we also have our book that is a journey, right, of a soul who's searching for the face of God. What book is that? Brihad Bhagavatamrita. You know, Brihad Bhagavatamrita also, you know, it's Gop Kumar. He also sees the light, the Brahman effulgence. And what does he do? He's not attracted. He just shouts out, Govinda. He takes shelter of the name of God to get through it. And he's going to so many places, having so many experiences. You see this, the Dante, he starts from hell and goes up. But, you know, Sanatana Goswami, Brihad Bhagavatamrita starts much higher, much more details of all these different levels and all the experiences. Much more is there given. And then you come to Vaikuntha and all the forms of God. All, many forms. But he wants to see the form of his Ishtadev, Sri Krishna, Gopal. And so that's described. So yeah, I think actually Dante's book was first in the West. And then 200 years later, Sanatana Goswami wrote his Journey of the Soul to God, to seeing God, to seeing God, embracing God. Dante, as soon as he saw any kind of form forming, it was just, he just, everything broke. It was just too much. It was too spectacular. It was too paradoxical. How could God also be a person? But it's there. And then Sanatana Goswami gives all the personal, beautiful details of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So this verse, these verses here are wonderful because the four Kumaras, they were in a purified state, but great mercy came to them. They saw the actual form of these previous verses. I think it's 38 to 45 describe the form of God. And they're just overwhelmed and they're transformed by seeing this form. Their body begins to change. Their chitta becomes totally purified. And now these last five verses are their prayers, basically thanking God for this darshan. We are so obliged to you, kindly allowing us to see your beautiful form. And our, not only is our heart and our mind satisfied, the eyes are satisfied, the body becomes satisfied. So this is the power of the path of bhakti. Different sadhanas lead to different realizations of God. Yoga sadhana leads to paramatma realization. Gyan sadhana leads to the realization of the Lord as Brahma. Brahma. Brahman. And sadhana bhakti leads to the pinnacle. We know there's this energy coming from God, the Brahma Jyoti. We know he's also in the heart of all living beings. But he also has a completely pure, transcendental, beautiful form. And to see that is the ultimate realization of God. And how blessed are we to know this and to be on this path given by the pure devotees of Krishna. So we'll stop here. If there are any thoughts, reflections, questions? Yes, Panchagoda Prabhu. All blessings to your mother, Prabhu. May she be blessed and just receive all Krishna's grace and auspiciousness on her journey.
Baba Blaga.
Yes, beautiful. Beautiful understanding of the name you gave.
Yeah. Blaga means sweet. Baba would be like an elderly wise person, the wise Baba Blaga. Baba means grandmother in Macedonia. Uh-huh. So Baba Blaga.
Yeah.
So Krishna was present at Kurukshetra, and so many fortunate persons had the opportunity to see him. Mm. In one sense, Krishna was revealing himself, and I don't know if they deserved or performed bhakti or, you know, ready for that. Mm. And Krishna's in our heart. And he could, you know, manifest himself before us. So when someone sees the Lord, he becomes transformed and doesn't want to be in this material world, wants to go back home. So maybe you can ask Krishna if he can reveal himself to all of us and we can just forget about this material world and go back home. Can it work like that?
What's that? What did you say?
Can it work like that? That Krishna will just reveal himself and automatically will be attracted to bhakti. Otherwise, it's a difficult job to be always, you know, all those performance of austerities and sacrifices, hearing and chanting and associating and serving, and plus being humble, you know, the whole thing.
Mm. Yeah, in the battle of Kurukshetra, they saw Krishna, and it's described everybody in the battle who left their bodies were liberated. So we know there are different kinds of liberation. So, you know, revealing the form of God, if God is seen, for a pure devotee, generally we see from our acharyas, the response is not, I've seen God, now I'm out of here. But the response is, I've seen God, and as I look at the living beings all around me, that love for God takes the form of compassion. I will stay here forever, even if God, if that's God's will. So to really see Krishna in truth means, Krishna, whatever your will is for me, I'm your servant. So you may require that I stay or that I go, whatever it may be, but it's a completely surrendered state. And so I continue on. And even pure devotees, they continue on with their sadhana as an example for others, hearing and chanting. So it's hidden often. Pure devotee hides these things. and just continues on like an ordinary devotee. But in their heart, they're always seeing Shyam Sundar, as it's described in Brahma Samhita. So this vision of Krishna, person becomes completely surrendered to the will of Krishna. And it's very special what's happening internally, but externally they'll behave like an ordinary devotee, and just in that way to encourage those who are sadhakas, who are practicing. So it's hard to say. It's not about our wish when that happens, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, but that surrendered state, just Krishna, use me however you want. Here I am, your devotee, anything you want. And that was Prabhupada's mood. Prabhupada was in great ecstasy and just preaching against modern science and atheism and all of these things. It was a kind of ecstasy also, because he's battling here. This is like the battleground, the material world. That's the perfected world. There's no battling. But down here, it's like a place to fight. And Prabhupada also entered the ecstasy of that fight to save all conditioned souls by Krishna's grace. So these things can also remain even with seeing Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yes, Yadavar Prabhu, please.
Hare Krishna. It reminds me of a story. We're coming down the elevator of the New York skyscraper building. And Prabhupada looked at us and he said, I want the privilege of fighting for Krishna. And that was his mood. But another story in connection with what you were saying about spiritual bodies of the spiritual master. I was with Prabhupada in his room in the last days. And I was massaging him. Maybe it was 2 weeks before he left. And at one point, it looked like he was feeling great pain. So I didn't want to continue massaging if it was giving Prabhupada discomfort. So I asked Prabhupada, are you feeling pain, Prabhupada? He looked at me like, what kind of a question is that? And he just looked at me and said, no. And I could realize at that point that he was completely beyond what his body was going through. Prabhupada was just in ecstasy no matter what situation his body was apparently in. Thank you.
Say hi. Beautiful. Thank you, Prabhu. Beautiful.
In this, I don't know if that book you have in front, this 3.2.20.
Yes.
In the purport, Prabhupada gives a very good analysis that Shishupal did not appreciate. As a result, he merged. But in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, some people, Krishna was there, some people did appreciate, but did not develop love to serve him. So they went to Vaikuntha. Those who developed the strong desire to please him, they went to Goloka. So it's not up to Krishna where we end up with, it's also up to us. Our desire, he communicate according to. That purport is beautiful, the way Prabhupada put it.
Yes.
One can read it.
Up to us, and then we also, then from that, we see the importance of Sangha. Who's our Sangha?
Yes.
Right? Because then if I'm around a particular Sangha, then those desires can become my desires can become their desires, and you see, so that's also...
But then it opens a big... field like Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari, Anupam is his brother, but Anupam never became Manjari or anything close. He remained Ram Bhakta. So it's, I agree, association is, but we have some, like Upendra Prabhu asked Prabhupada in 1968 in Vedavesa, I remember reading it once. Our relationship, God is a father and I'm a son, but how do I develop as a lover? Something like that, if I recall. And then Prabhupada put a pause and then he says, well, all the relationships are very beautiful. But then he put another pause and he says, but if you feel you want to be lover of God, Krishna, then in maturity of your devotional practice, it will manifest.
Mm.
So I love that also, Prabhupada, the way Prabhupada completed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very nice. Another distinction I was trying to make, like Narad Muni is exploring in sadhana where he met the Lord, but then Lord says, I'm not going to show you anymore.
Mm.
That's it. You have to have a more intensity and purity, two things he mentioned.
Mm.
In the purport, Prabhupada explained this. So I was putting this together, the verses of Rupa Goswami Pada. I won't go elaborate on that. But spiritualized form is sadhak deha. Like Prabhupada has a Satchidananda form, but Prabhupada also has a sadhak form, which we worship. It's spiritualized.
Mm.
It is like Satchidananda. It's anybody can pray to Prabhupada's murti even now.
Mm.
It will purify. But Satchidananda body that Prabhupada has is not this one. It's in the spiritual world.
Mm.
So there's a little distinction is there. Narad Muni had a spiritualized, or many. Even in Ishkan, many gurus, you know, spiritualized, many senior devotees probably.
Mm.
But Satchidananda body is a little different.
Yeah. In the actual pastimes of Vrindavan, with Vrindavan Krishna, you know, that body can be very different than what we imagine or expect or any connection to this this life and this world and this body. True.
I'm just curious.
It just did. It's always ongoing. It's eternal, man. But I'm going to pick on Pran here. I just did, but again. So it is up to Krishna in the sense that he wants it to be up to us. He wants the relationship. Anyways, but you were right. It is two people. But another small thing that just caught my
attention. Is that mic on, Prabhu?
Okay. Another, it's just not on for me. Another small thing that caught my attention was when we were saying like you need your original form to see Krishna, but actually in one sense we always have that. It's just dormant. It's not manifest. So we don't, like we're just discussing the spiritualized forms of the pure devotees when they engage within this realm. They're still seeing Krishna. And they're still also engaging with some form that we would consider of a different category than an eternal form, but it's spiritualized. And ultimately, this non-eternal stuff is also spiritual. I mean, there's so many ways you can parse, you know, it's unlimited, you know. Okay, Pran, you want to finish your class?
No, I won't take any. Because these three things you mentioned, prakriti, vikriti, and sanskriti.
Yes.
I had a different understanding. Another day, Gauranga Prabhu also spoke on these three things.
Mm.
So prakriti is the drawing happiness at the cost of others' misery. Like Ravana, he gave an example.
Mm.
And vikriti is like a devotee who joined in the movement. And I also had that similar understanding. And then we slip off. Let me enjoy for a while and then I will, I am devotee, I'll go on Sunday feast only, not every day chanting or they slacken. So he gave an example of Sugriv when Lord Ramchandra said, okay, you have some time, go gather all the monkeys. But instead of gathering monkey, he went for party. And then Lord Ramchandra sent Lakshman, said, go tell Sugriv, the road that I put Bali to the way to hell, death, is still open.
Mm.
Then Lakshman got so fired up, he says, why do I have to tell the message? I can kill him now. He said, no. But it was very nice that Lord Ramchandra wanted Sugriv to have a transformation of heart.
Mm.
He did a mistake, but he should come back and reestablish his function.
Mm.
So it's very attractive from that. So that was, I thought, was Vikriti. And then Sanskriti, how Mother Sita and all the devotees serve Ram in Ayodhya eternally. It's 100% pure. But your angle is another difference. It's nice. Yeah. I'm going to meditate on it.
Yeah, this my angle is more just looking at the technical word. Prakriti means like excellently formed. Kriti means to form or to make. And pra, the prefix pra, means like it's well formed. In the original state of even the material nature, it is well formed. But then vikriti, it becomes contaminated. Yes. And then sanskriti, sun means like complete, to completely reform it back to its original state. So that's also described in that way in terms of the citta and the material nature. But yeah, this is another angle from another example.
Thank you. Nice yes, class, though. Jai Prabhu. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.